By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah, even the darkest night will end, and the sun will rise and shine, and the sun will rise and shine.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد الأنبياء والمرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله My dear viewers of Madani channel, Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam had encouraged us to take care of our surrounding, to be clean. Yes, and to take care of our surroundings, to take care of our own health, the people around us, and also our surroundings, to keep clean, etc. To take care of the environment. Not even to waste water. Now that's at another level, my dear viewers, which, you know, maybe one day that time will really come where we think, wow, you know, it's simple. Right now, because there's so much water, and yes, it's 70% of the earth is filled with water. Who knows if that is going to change? I think around about 70-71% of not only the earth is water, even our bodies, of our very own bodies too, much of it is also water. And my dear viewers of Madani channel, subhanAllah, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us not even to waste water. Remember all of the blessings which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has bestowed upon us, each and every single one of them, yes, they may be little, or we may consider them to be little. We may think these are little. But on the day of judgment, we shall be asked about those blessings. We shall be taken to account for all of the blessings that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has bestowed upon us. But yes, climate change, we must take care of. This is what we can do, and this is something which requires everybody to do, and this is something which our faith requires us to do, our deen requires us to keep clean, to look, take care of ourselves and take care of the environment around us. And if we are all to do this, and subhanAllah, remember, even trees, so cutting down trees, you cut down trees, okay, plant more trees. In our deen, in our religion, we have been encouraged to plant trees. So much so that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has mentioned the benefits, the rewards of planting trees, and the trees which you plant, the fruit which they bear. Even if animals are to eat from them, you are given reward. This is sadaqah. If birds are to eat them, this is sadaqah. Whoever is to take from it, this is sadaqah on your behalf. Look how much reward there is. Allahu Akbar. I don't know how we got to that. Nevertheless, yes, from the weather to climate change. Remember, everything that we have is a mercy. Alhamdulillah. We should be thankful for what we have, my dear viewers. Even for the weather, especially here, we've not really had severe weather. There have been some storms. There have been some storms, and hundreds, tens of thousands of people have been affected by those storms too. My dear viewers, please always be careful. My dear viewers of Madani channel, always, yes, be careful. Always take care of yourself. And don't think it's warm now. Don't think it's warm. I can have a shower in the morning and leave my home. No, if you do that, you may end up turning ill. It's not warm, but it's become much milder, not as cold as it used to be. Nevertheless, that's enough on that. Alhamdulillah, you are watching Rise and Shine each and every single morning. We begin our day by listening to the tilawat of the glorious Quran. Alhamdulillah, Azzudal. We are on Surah Al-Kahf, my dear viewers. Yes, 18th chapter of the glorious Quran. A beautiful chapter, a phenomenal chapter. And we shall be starting a new story. We've had the story of the people of the cave, but within this same chapter, there were a few stories. And there's another story, my dear viewers. What that is, let's see, inshallah, if we do come across it today, that we will be coming across it very, very soon. Inshallah, Azzawajal. Let's go to the tilawat of the glorious Quran. Sallu alal Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu ta'ala alihi wa ala alihi wa sallam.
A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim.
Main Allah ta'ala ki panah mein aata hoon shaitan-e-mardood se.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم
اللہ کے نام سے شروع جو نہایت مہربان رحم والا۔
وَإِذْ قَالَ مُوسَى لِفَتَاهُ لَا أَبْرَحُ حَتَّى أَبْلُغَ مَجْمَعَ الْبَحْرَيْنِ أَوْ أَمْضِيَ حُقُبًا۔
اور یاد کرو جب موسیٰ نے اپنے خادم سے کہا میں باز نہ رہوں گا جب تک وہاں نہ پہنچوں جہاں دو سمندر ملے ہیں، یا کرنو چلا یعنی مدتوں چلتا جاؤں۔
فَلَمَّا بَلَغَا مَجْمَعَ بَيْنِهِمَا نَسِيَا حُوتَهُمَا فَاتَّخَذَ سَبِيلَهُ فِي الْبَحْرِ سَرَبًا۔
پھر جب وہ دونوں ان دریاؤں کی ملنے کی جگہ پہنچے اپنی مچھلی بھول گئے اور اس نے سمندر میں اپنی راہ لی سرنگ بناتی۔
فَلَمَّا جَاوَزَا قَالَ لِفَتَاهُ آتِنَا غَدَاءَنَا لَقَدْ لَقِينَا مِن سَفَرِنَا هَذَا نَصَبًا۔
پھر جب وہاں سے گزر گئے موسیٰ نے خادم سے کہا ہمارا صبح کا کھانا لاؤ، بے شک ہمیں اپنے اس سفر میں بڑی مشقت کا سامنا ہوا۔
قال ارأيت اذ اوينا الى الصخرة فإني نسيت الحوت وما انسانيه الا الشيطان ان اذكره واتخذ سبيله في البحر عجبا۔
بولا بھلا دیکھیے تو جب ہم نے اس چٹان کے پاس جگہ لی تھی تو بے شک میں مچھلی کو بھول گیا اور مجھے شیطان ہی نے بھلا دیا کہ میں اس کا مذکور یعنی ذکر کروں، اور اس نے تو سمندر میں اپنی راہ لی، اچمبا یعنی عجیب بات ہے۔
قال ذلك ما كنا نبغي فارتدا على آثارهما قصصا۔
موسیٰ نے کہا یہی تو ہم چاہتے تھے تو پیچھے پلٹے اپنے قدموں کے نشان دیکھتے۔
فوجدا عبدا من عبادنا آتیناه رحمة من عندنا وعلمناه من لدنا علما۔
تو ہمارے بندوں میں سے ایک بندہ پایا جسے ہم نے اپنے پاس سے رحمت دی اور اسے اپنا علم لدنی عطا کیا۔
قال له موسى هل اتبعك على ان تعلمني مما علمت رشدا۔
اس سے موسیٰ نے کہا کیا میں تمہارے ساتھ رہوں اس شرط پر کہ تم مجھے سکھا دو گے نیک بات جو تمہیں تعلیم ہوئی۔
قال انك لن تستطيع معي صبرا۔
کہا آپ میرے ساتھ ہرگز نہ ٹھہر سکیں گے۔
وَكَيْفَ تَصْبِرُ عَلَى مَا لَمْ تُحِطْ بِهِ خُبْرًا۔
اور اس بات پر کیوں کر صبر کریں گے جسے آپ کا علم محیط نہیں۔
قَالَ سَتَجِدُنِي إِن شَاءَ اللَّهُ صَابِرًا وَلَا أَعْصِي لَكَ أَمْرًا۔
کہا ان قریب اللہ چاہے تو تم مجھے صابر پاؤ گے اور میں تمہارے کسی حکم کے خلاف نہ کروں گا۔
قال فإن اتبعتني فلا تسألني عن شيء حتى أحدث لك منه ذكرا۔
کہا تو اگر آپ میرے ساتھ رہتے ہیں تو مجھ سے کسی بات کو نہ پوچھنا جب تک میں خود اس کا ذکر نہ کروں۔
صدق اللہ العظیم۔
صلوا على الحبيب صلى الله تعالى على محمد صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وسلم۔ I wish I could just keep listening to that. Allahu Akbar, really, mashallah. And if it's on Madani channel, as I did mention, mashallah, we are on Surah Al-Kahf and we did begin this beautiful story. Amongst the most beautiful stories of the subhanAllah, the Quran is replete with many stories. And in fact, this is a very, very important lesson for us. It's a very, very important lesson for us. Why are there so many stories in the Quran? Why are there so many stories? And people will think, why are there so many stories in the Quran? And that's a lesson for us. It shows us the importance of stories, of parables. The Quran itself is filled with so many of them. You know, because there is a moral behind it, there is a lesson behind it. Lessons we can learn from. And this is why, subhanAllah, yes, there are rulings in the Quran. There's all sorts of things, subhanAllah. But there are so many stories. Because subhanAllah, I remember I went to a court, I was invited to a court. And may Allah Ta'ala keep me free from ever being in court for the wrong reasons or anything, inshallah wa azza wa jal. Nevertheless, I was once invited to the court by this barrister, mashallah. And he gave a speech, but he said to me before, he said that I'm going to give a speech, but I'm going to tell a story because the story has a huge effect on people. Stories, they have a huge effect on a people. Us being humans, we love listening to stories. And there's always a lesson to learn from it. So this is something which is used, this tool of stories used by many people because it does have a huge effect. And we should tell, especially our youngsters, we should tell them stories. And we find that most of the time, not every single time, but in the morning, we mostly will have some sort of story. And subhanAllah, today, mashallah, we have one from the glorious Quran, the story of Hazrat Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. It said, and where Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam tells this, and this is found within many places, alhamdulillah, that there was this great prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who everybody would know the name of, Hazrat Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. Hazrat Musa alayhi salatu wasalam was once sitting with his companions. There were many companions sitting with Hazrat Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. And Hazrat Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, being a prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, was advising them. He was teaching them. One person, he stands and he says that, O Prophet, Ya Nabi Allah, O Prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, are you the most knowledgeable person in the world? Are you the one who has the most knowledge in the world? Hazrat Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, a great prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, says, yes, it is me. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reveals to Hazrat Musa alayhi salam that, oh Musa, there's another individual who is on the land, who is on the earth, and we have granted him special knowledge. We have granted him knowledge. Hazrat Musa alayhi salam think, somebody else? Even more knowledgeable, who has more knowledge than me? Allahu Akbar. Says, Ya Allah, I wish to see that person. I wish to be able to meet that person. Ya Allah, can I meet that person? Where can I find such a person? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells him that these are the signs. This is the place where you can find this person. If you were to take a fish which is dead, if it is to go to that water, it will come back to life. Elixir of life. This is particular water. You will find him there. Allahu Akbar. So Hazrat Musa alayhi salam, he sets out on this journey. He takes one companion with him. And this companion he takes with him is also a great prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yes. He is the nephew of Hazrat Musa alayhi salam, the successor of Hazrat Musa alayhi salam, Hazrat Yusha bin Noon alayhi salam, another great prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Hazrat Musa alayhi salam is traveling on this journey, that the Yusha bin Noon alayhi salam is also with him. They are traveling, they take a rest, they continue traveling, etc., etc. And then one day they sit down at a place. And Hazrat Musa alayhi salam is taking a nap. This other person who's with him, this companion of his, Hazrat Yusha bin Noon alayhi salam, they have food with him. Hazrat Musa alayhi salam then says, bring the food. Whilst Hazrat Musa alayhi salam was sleeping, this fish, it went into the water. It jumped out. Because it said, some of the scholars, they state in the tafsir, that some of the specks of water had touched this fish. And then this fish was brought to life. It jumped, and then it jumped out. As you would know of a fish, I don't know if any of you have ever had experiences, having a fish in your hand. I remember once we used to have a pond in a place, let's just say. And there we had the pond and we would clean out because sometimes after like a year or so, you need to clean out the pond. So, they would take in, the other family members were with me, they would take in the fish out of the pond and I was like, it felt weird to me. But then when I try picking one up, it is jumping around, it just jumps back in. So this is exactly what happened, is he had it in the basket, the water touches the fish, begins to jump, and it jumps into the water, and then it swam away. Yusha bin Nun, he saw this. He saw this, but he didn't say anything. He thought, okay, when Musa alayhi salam wakes up, then I shall tell him. And then they travel on the journey, and then again when they rested to have something to eat, Musa says to him, bring the fish that we had. And as the Yusha bin Nun says, forgot to tell you, back there at such and such place, that fish, it had gone into the water, it was so strange, and it just swam away. But Musa alayhi salam, he says, why didn't he tell me before? That's what we were looking for that water which brings it back to life. The elixir of life, if you wish. And then Yusha bin Nun, he says that, it was a shaitan who made me forget. Allahu Akbar. I mean, dear viewers, they go back to that place. And there they discover that. And this is what I read in one tafsir. I can't remember which tafsir this was. There they say that there was this person who was there and he was praying salah. And this was the person they were looking for. And who is this? Hazrat Khidr alayhi salatu wasalam. There's many reasons as to why he's known as, or the scholars say as to why he is known as. Remember, Khidr is not his real name, this is what he's famously known as. And Khidr means, like, for example, Gumbade Khadra, it has the meaning of green. So they say there is possibly Khidr, Khadir. These are possibly his names. As we say in our own generally, we say Hazrat Khidr alayhi salatu wasalam. It stated wherever they would sit, then greenery would grow around them. And this is a great prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is a prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he is amongst those prophets who up until this day and age, meaning up until today, they are still alive. And they shall remain. And in some scholars say that up until the Dajjal comes. Up until the Dajjal comes. And there's a famous story about a man who confronts him, and they say that this is Hazrat Khidr alayhi salatu wasalam. Nevertheless, and many instances we find in the Ahadith Sharif too, during the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, after the apparent demise, when they were asked about when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam left this world, his apparent demise took place. And then the companions were in doubt as to what to be doing. And they heard a voice calling out. And as the Ali radiallahu anhu states this also, as the Khidr alayhi wa sallam. So there's, mashallah, there's many things. But I don't wish to go into that. The point being, he's one of those prophets who is still alive. With this one thing we must remember, that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the last and final prophet. It doesn't mean he shall be the last to pass away. But yes, he is the last and final. For example, Hazrat Isa alayhi sallam has not passed away yet. He has not had his apparent demise yet. No, he's in the heavens. He was raised. He's in the second heaven, my dear viewers. So remember that all prophets are in a way alive. That's another matter. But some have not even tasted death. Some have not even tasted death. And amongst them is Hazrat Khidr alayhi salatu wasalam. Two. Now, Allahu Akbar, we're diverting from the story. So Hazrat Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, he meets this other person who, has been given a special type of knowledge. Hazrat Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, he says to him, I wish to spend some time with you. He says, you won't be able to. You will be able to be patient with me. Allahu Akbar. This is his knowledge. This is that knowledge which was bestowed upon him. He knows this. He says, almost, you won't be able to remain patient with me. But the Musa alayhi salam says, allow me to stay with you. And he agrees. He says, whatever I do, don't question me. Whatever I do, don't question me until I give you the answer. I will give you the answer. And then they begin their travels. And inshallah, so what those travels were, each and every single day we shall speak a little about this, inshallah, azza wa jal. But this story of Hazrat Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, Hazrat Khidr alayhi salatu wasalam, this story is a beautiful one. Me, myself, look, I was getting all excited talking about that. I'm taking the whole program, although that's not today's topic, my dear viewers. Inshallah, on a daily basis, we'll hear a little as we progress in the recitation of the glorious Quran too. Today we have another topic. Today we have an important, a brilliant topic as usual. What that is, let's first go to the Na'at Sharif of the greatest of all mankind, the peace of our hearts and our minds, the most generous and kind, the last and final prophet and messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Rasulullah Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu ta'ala alihi wa ala alihi wa sallam. Sallu على الحبيب صلى الله تعالى على محمد صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وسلم.
السلام يا نبي, السلام يا نبي, السلام يا نبي, يا نبي السلام. السلام يا نبي, السلام يا نبي, يا نبي السلام.
رب کے پیارے راج دلارے, تم ہو ہمارے ہم ہیں تمہارے. رب کے پیارے راج دلارے, تم ہو ہمارے ہم ہیں تمہارے. اے دامان رحمت والے, تم پر لاکھوں سلام.
السلام یا نبی, السلام یا نبی, السلام یا نبی, یا نبی السلام. السلام یا نبی, السلام یا نبی, السلام یا نبی, یا نبی السلام.
دیے تم کو اپنے خزانے رب عزت رب علانے, دے دیے تم کو اپنے خزانے رب عزت رب علانے. دونوں جہاں کی نعمت والے, تم پر لاکھوں سلام. السلام علی مصطفی
مصطفی منبع للصفا, سید الانبیاء مشعل فی الوفا. کان فی یدفیه للیتامى دفا.
مصطفی مصطفی منبع للصفا, سید الانبیاء مشعل فی الوفا. کان فی یدفیه لليتامى دفا. حن قلبي له فاض شوقا إلي, ليس أرجو سوى شربة من يدي. الصلاة علي والسلام علي. للسماء ارتقى فأتى بالنقى, وغدا وجهه نيرا مشرقا, وغدا وجهه نيرا مشرقا. عرش علا پر رب نے بلایا اپنا جلوہ خاص دکھایا. ہے سفارا سب حور ملک اور غلمہ خلد سجاتے ہیں, اک دوم گئے عرش اعظم پر مہمان خدا کے آتے ہیں. عرش علا پر رب نے بلایا اپنا جلوہ خاص دکھایا. خلوت والے جلوت والے, تم پر لاکھوں سلام.
قمرون 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 سیدنا النبی, قمرون وجمیل
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 وجمیل سیدنا النبی وجمیل.
وكف المصطفى كالورد نادي
الله الله,
وعطرها يبقى إذا مست أيادي
الله الله,
وكف المصطفى كالورد نادي
الله الله
وعطرها يبقى إذا مست أيادي
الله الله
وأما نبالغ كل العباد وأما نبالغ كل العباد وأما نبالغ كل العباد حبيب الله يا خير البرايا
قمرون 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 سيدنا النبي قمرون وجميل سيدنا النبي وجميل
بوجهل عينك الما پڑتا دیکھا ہی نہیں اس نے شاہا سمت نبی بو جہل گیا آقا سے اس نے یہ کہا گر ہو نبی بتلاؤ ذرا میری مٹھی میں ہے کیا سمت نبی بو جہل گیا آقا سے اس نے یہ کہا گر ہو نبی بتلاؤ ذرا میری مٹھی میں ہے کیا آقا کا فرمان ہوا اور فضل رحمان ہوا مٹھی سے کنکر بولا لا الہ الا اللہ
حسبی ربی جل اللہ ما فی قلبی غیر اللہ نور محمد صلی اللہ لا الہ الا اللہ
بو جہل نہیں کلمہ پڑھتا دیکھا ہی نہیں اس نے شاہا دو والی صورت والے تم پر لاکھوں سلام
مولایا صلی وسلم دائما ابدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم يا ربي صل علي يا ربي سلم علي يا ربي صل علي صلوات الله علي مولاي صل وسلم دائما ابدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم
يا ربي بالمصطفى بلغ مقاصدنا واغفر لنا ما مضى يا واسع الكرم خواب میں اپنا جلوہ دکھاؤ نوری کو تم نوری بناؤ خواب میں اپنا جلوہ دکھاؤ نوری کو تم نوری بناؤ اے چمکیلی رنگت والے تم پر لاکھوں سلام
السلام علیک یا رسول اللہ السلام عليك يا حبيبي يا نبي الله السلام عليك يا رسول الله السلام عليك يا حبيبي يا نبي الله يا رسول الله
رقت عيناي شوقا ولطيبة ذرفت عشقا فأتيت إلى حبيبي فاهدأ يا قلب ورفقا صلي على محمد
السلام عليك يا رسول الله السلام عليك يا حبيبي يا نبي الله السلام عليك يا رسول الله السلام عليك يا حبيبي يا نبي الله يا رسول الله
أنت نور الله الله فجرا جئت بعد العسر يسرا ربنا لك قدرا يا ختام الأنبياء أيها المختار فينا زادنا الحب حنينا جئتنا بالخير دينا يا ختام المرسلين يا حبيبي يا رسول الله يا نبي سلام عليك يا رسول سلام عليك يا حبيب سلام عليك صلوات الله عليك يا نبي سلام عليك يا رسول سلام عليك يا حبيب سلام عليك صلوات الله عليك
صلوا على الحبيب صلى الله تعالى على محمد صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وسلم. واو ما شاء الله. Now, my dear viewers of Madani channel, mashallah, I enjoyed listening to that. I hope you did too. Alhamdulillahi Azza wa Jal. That was beautifully recited by our Naad Khan. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless him. Now, today, my dear viewers, we shall be speaking about something which is of extreme importance. Something which, okay, for a very, very long time we've not had, but now I hope so, has increased. And what is it that I'm talking about? Something we've not had in a very long time. There are many things we've not had in a very long time, especially since COVID. But, my dear viewers, amongst those many things that is, and one of the most important things is interactions, guests at our houses. Yes, but now it's been quite some time, mashallah, where things have opened up. Now, guests are very, very important. Very, very important. And my dear viewers of Madinah, one thing I have realized is that as we think we are progressing, because there's one thing which is really progression, another is regression. Sometimes we think we are progressing, but rather we are regressing. And this is with many things. And what happens, especially in this day and age, what we do or what we wish is to like move away from family. To move away, or even if we do get a house, we'll get it somewhere far away, not within the same street. SubhanAllah, many of us are from, you know, Pakistan or India, wherever we may be from, whichever country it is we are originally from. And them days, and for those that are not sure, there would be many that were born in this country, but they would possibly go there to the country of their fathers, their parents, that is, their grandparents, whoever it may be, and they would see that, wow, all his relatives, we all live next door to each other. Yes, they all live next door to each other. They all live close by. And this is what they wish. This is what their desire was, to live close by to each other. So close are the next door neighbors. And you think, wow, we're all next door neighbors there. And many times, in fact, not just that, you'll find, and this we have quite a lot. You'll say, who is this person? How is this person related to us? And your uncle would say that he's from the same village. He's from the same village. This is what your parents may tell you, that, oh, he's from the same village in Pakistan. There's somebody in another city. If you know, one's in the north of the country, another's right down south, and they say, oh, how do we even know them? They're from the same village. They're your cousins. They call them cousins. Everybody's your cousin. Oh, these people, they're your cousin. How? They're from the same village. So being from the same village also makes you cousins. Allahu Akbar. And this is what we find many a time. And this is something which we experience a lot in this country. It won't be everywhere. The different people living in different places, there are many people who come from cities, it may be different. But especially those, for example, us, our parents were from a village. And we find many times, many of those who were from villages, etc., they had migrated. And this is the situation. But they are very, very close. You know, my father, may Allah Ta'ala bless them. But one thing I've realized ever since I was very young is even if it's my friends or whoever it may be, my father gets to know who they are. That's when I tell them that this is my friend or whoever. But what they will do, the first thing they'll say is, okay, what's your name? And they give him a full interview, don't they? This is what people do. And like, where are you from? This is one of the most important questions. Where are you from in Pakistan? Or from where, whichever country, maybe. Which country are you from? Okay, you're from Pakistan. Where in Pakistan? In this city? Okay, whereabouts in this city? On this village? Okay, and then they'll mention a person's name. Okay, so this person, who is this to you? And they'll be like, oh, that's my granddad. So they're able to identify people, they know people. And this, you know, these things, these are things which we are lacking nowadays. So for example, I would ask, it was the other day, subhanAllah, I was sitting with my family, my younger brother said that, oh, this person, somebody who, mashallah, was very close to us, and, you know, personally, I have so much love for that person, they passed away. I love them so, but I don't know how they're related to me. This is a problem which us youngsters have. Millennials, you can say. The millennials, that, you know, very, very close. I remember anything would happen, they would always be there. And they're known by this in our family. Yeah, the name was, we call them Uncle Aslam. Allah, you know, they were, mashallah, a beautiful personality. May Allah Ta'ala grant them Jannah. But they were famously known to be, mashallah, always going to places. So if something was to happen, they would always be the first there. May Allah Ta'ala bless them, honestly. This is a brilliant characteristic of theirs, which they are famous for, very, very well known. May Allah Ta'ala bless them. Now, what is the reason I'm saying this? The reason I'm saying this is because I think, okay, but dad, how are they related to us? They're very, very close, always there. And we know the entire family, you know, very close. But then, how are we related to them? This is a question which us youngsters have so much. Or, you know, maybe it's just in our family, but I know it's quite often. And then they'll say, oh, they're very close. You're like, they're very close? How are they very close? Oh, your uncles, aunties, nephews, nieces, and it just goes on and on and on. And then you just get lost. I remember the other day we were speaking, and I'm like, my younger brother asked. And I'm like, oh, it's one of those ones. Allahu Akbar. You can't keep up with it. But how is it that they did keep up with it? How is it that they have? You see, many of us, if we think about ourselves, how many of our relatives do we go and visit? How many come and visit us? If there's something, remember there's two things, as everybody says, happiness, sadness, a happy occasion, a sad occasion. When there's a wedding, you should go. When there's a funeral, when there's a loss, anything, any harms come to somebody, you hear about it. Any good, they've gone to perform umrah, etc., whatever it may be, they go and visit. But this happens less nowadays. This is one of those things which we think, yes, we're progressing because, you know, how much of a big thing is it? This is what we would say. Oh, it's only mine, I don't need to go. But our elders would always go, they would always be the first to be there. And this is what kept them so close together. And they possess this, they have this mutual love and respect for each other. Really, this deep respect they have for each other, where they really respect each other. But amongst the youth, we don't have this. We don't have this amongst the youth. It's close to nothing. We're not bothered about others. You know, we take pride in mocking one another. And how does this come to our subject, our topic? Our topic is guests. Now, when people keep maintain these ties and these links, then no doubt they would have more guests. That's another thing. Having more or less guests is another thing. But then as to how we should treat those guests, the importance of guests, this is something we need to recognize. Especially the younger generation. We really need to recognize the importance that guests hold an importance in our deen, in our religion. Yes, I was talking about the beauty of our religion. Allahu Akbar. Our deen teaches us about respect for guests. Hospitality, the importance of hospitality. My dear viewers of Madan Channel, let's inshallah go to the daily reminder and then we shall hear much on this topic inshallah. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alihi wa ala alihi wa sallam.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah.
The companion of the Prophet, Sayyidina Jabir radiallahu ta'ala anhu, has narrated that the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said, undoubtedly, amongst you, the most beloved and closest to me on the day of judgment will be those who are the most well-mannered among you. And amongst you, the most disliked and the farthest from me on the day of judgment will be those who are ill-mannered, who talk too much, are rude, and those who speak excessively with gaping mouths. Sayyidina Mufti Ahmad Yar Khan Naimi rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi has commented on this hadith and explained this. Because a well-mannered person often performs good deeds more, sins are rarely committed by him. Honesty, meaning faithfulness, being trustworthy, trustfulness, fulfilling promises, and having correct dealings are all included in good manners. And ill-mannered people often are sinners. Bad manners themselves are evil and a means of many evil actions. Lying, misappropriating, breach of promise, and deceptions are all dealings and branches of bad manners. Dear viewers of Madani Channel, safeguard yourself and others from being ill-mannered, for being ill-mannered will keep us away from the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam on the Day of Judgment. And being well-mannered, being truthful, being nice, doing good deeds will keep us close to the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam on the Day of Judgment. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah.
Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam. Ladies and gentlemen, mashallah wa azza wa jal, you are watching Rise and Shine. Now, my dear viewers of Madani Channel, today's topic, today, inshallah, we shall be hearing about guests, hospitality, the importance of hospitality. Now, who was the first? Who was the first individual to invite guests, to invite people over, guests? And he said that this was Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. And no doubt this is a practice of many prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the awliya of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, this characteristic is so beautiful, honestly. This is brilliant, and you know, some people have it. You get all types of people, don't we? You get all types of people. When a person has food, sometimes they want to share that food. And some people are very miserly and greedy. They don't share things. And in fact, this is something we should encourage our children to do. We should encourage our children to share, whatever it may be. We should always encourage them to share. Again, this is one of the things our deen teaches us, subhanAllah. Where even when it comes to the neighbors are at your house, even if the neighbor's in the street, amongst the respect of the neighbors is that if you were to make food, if you were to make something special, you should not allow the smell to go to their house. Well, unless you could give them food, but sometimes, okay, you're not able to give it to them. Then you shouldn't allow the smell to escape and to go to them for others to be able to smell it. You shouldn't give your kids food outside in the street. You know, especially this will take place in the summer. Well, okay, you'll be giving your children, you'll give them crisps, you'll give them chocolates, you'll give them ice creams. Now, the neighbor, they may not be able to afford that. And their children, how would they feel? This is part of hospitality. This is part of, in a way, this is part of hospitality. Guests, my dear viewers. And so these are the, and there's many more things. These are the things our religion teaches, and this is beautiful, honestly. Who cares? Who thinks about those things? No. We shouldn't give our children, you know, such things and go in the street because other children will see that. And other children will think, oh, I wish if only I was able to have that. They would feel sad. Or this person, they get this, they get ice creams, they get to have crisps. We don't get to have, maybe they can't afford it. So, you know, the sort of things our Sharia advises us in is honestly, it's so phenomenal. It's absolutely beautiful. Alhamdulillah, Azza wa Jal. Now, coming to guests, my dear viewers, Hazrat Ibrahim, I was speaking about sharing, that's how I've come to that. So there's different types of people. Some people are very miserly, especially when they're youngsters. Somebody like, oh, give us some of that, and says, no, I'm eating it. They turn away. They eat it themselves. We should advise our children to share things. They need to learn to share. Children should, inshallah, share things. Teach them this now. That is good to share. Even if they have something. Even if the other child did not ask, say, okay, go share. And with these sort of things, we need to teach them when they're young, so that when they become elderly, this
becomes embedded within the, you can say, within the system itself. Now, speaking about Hazrat, this great prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, it said about him that he would never eat, he would never eat without a guest. Imagine this. One thing is, okay, you know, the different types of people, you are inviting people over, inviting somebody to your house. Even that's huge. That's brilliant. A guest coming to your house, etc. Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, he would never eat. This was his hospitality. He would never ever eat without a guest. Allahu Akbar. Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. Why? Because he would consider the guest to be the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, some people will be thinking, okay, Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam, he would never eat without a guest. Okay, but so you don't always have a guest with you, do you? You don't always have a guest with you. Sometimes, you know, you don't have a guest. Sometimes people are busy. Sometimes you just, you've got to eat on your own. Now, Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, he was so hospitable. He was so hospitable. It said he would walk out, he would go in search for a guest. He would go and search for anybody who needs to eat, anybody. Because he would come invite them to come and eat with him. Allahu Akbar. Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam, his hospitality. He was very, very hospitable. And he was very kind, affectionate. As I said, he considered guests to be another, this is what they are. They are a mercy. Guests coming to your house, eating at your house. Remember, all the food belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But you can say your food. Coming, eating your food. This is a mercy for you. This is what we must understand. This is a mercy for you. And the people, they would love to be hospitable. But now, this is one of those things which we find to be less and less. Whether we are inviting people, or we are not, sorry, inviting people, that is. Or whether that's, you know, maybe we are inviting people, but people do not come. So this is, you know, for us too. Sometimes we are invited and we say, no, I'm sorry, I can't. There's this or there's that, etc., etc. Whenever somebody invites you, you should not say, no, you should go. You should go to that person. And one thing I would advise is, if there was to be a rich person inviting you, would you go to the person's house or not? Would you go to the person's house or not? Now, the majority of the times, you would say yes. Even if you are busy, you would still say, okay, no problem, I had something, but okay, I'll cancel it, and I'll still come to your house. This is what people do. Or this is what we do, shall we say. These are the things we do. Now, if a poor person was invited to his house, then you think, oh, on that day, even if you don't have something to do, you'll still think, oh, you'll make something to do. You'll make something up to do on that day that you don't have to go. But rather, my dear viewers of the Nichol, rather, we should give preference to the poor over the rich. Now think about it. If a person is rich, and you were to go to the house, will you be the only one going to the house? Most likely not. They would have called many people. Most likely they would have called many other people too. Okay, you're one of the many people going. Now, if you were not to go, how much of a difference would it make? Would it matter? That person's rich anyway. He has, and this is what rich in a way is. One of my teachers, he told me this. He says, well, what is a gharib? This is what we call poor, don't we? We call a poor person, we call him a gharib. He says, what is a gharib? He says, well, gharib, what does it literally mean? Gharib, in the Arabic language, it means strange. You know, huwa shakhsun gharib. He's a strange person. That's what the Arabs say. He's strange. And then, you know, a person must think, gharib means strange? Person you're not familiar with. Person you do not know very much. Person who's not very, very well known. They're considered, that's what it literally means, gharib. But we say, oh, gharibun, you know, the gharib. You know, this person's a poor person. This is when we say gharib. Why is it that we say this? Why is it that gharib is in a way synonymous with poverty, with poor people. And one of our teachers, may Allah Ta'ala bless him, this is what they stated. This is what they said. They said that because a gharib, a poor person, they are quite strange to people. How? Not that they're alien or they're weird or anything along this line, not in that meaning whatsoever, no. But rather, how many guests do they have ever come into the house? How many people go visit them? How many people know them? How many people even attend their funeral? Very, very less. Very, very less. And this is so true. That's the truth. A very, you know, a small amount of people would go to that person. When it's a rich person is passing away, the funeral, so many people are there. When it's a poor person, you know, we're lucky to get quite a few individuals there. But Madi viewers, in reality, if you were to think about it, speaking, going, an invitation or going to that person's house, if a poor person was to invite you to the house, if a poor person was to invite you to the house, you were to go to the house, not many people go to the house, you to go to the house, you're possibly the only one, maybe it'll be one, two, or maybe five people. If you were to go there, imagine how happy that person would become. Imagine how happy that person would be. And remember, to that rich person, it wouldn't make much of a difference. That poor person would mean everything. They'd be so thankful. They would be, honestly, so appreciative. Although you're not doing it for their appreciation or for their thanks. You're doing it for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But imagine the happiness it would bring about in the hearts. Imagine how happy it would make such a person. So this is just something to remember. When people invite you, you should try to go. You should try. And yes, many people are busy. So sometimes somebody may say to me, oh, okay, I need you to, or, you know, if possible, could you come? Or we have such and such thingy. It would be really nice for you to be there. And I would say that, I would say, look, these times I'm doing this. But inshallah, if it's at this time, then of course, inshallah, I'll try to. Even if I'm doing something else, I'll say, okay, no problem. I'll delay that. And inshallah, I will come. And I'll say, okay, no problem. Perfect. We'll have it at that time. So many of you was, we should try to not reject, never say no. Alhamdulillah, you know, may Allah Ta'ala grant me sincerity. But I try to never reject or say no. I'll say, look, if I'm busy, I'll say, look, I have these things at this time on this day, I'm free to be able to come, etc. And then, you know, if possible, this is what I do. Alhamdulillah. And this is what we should do. We shouldn't turn people down. And neither should we look at, is this person rich, is this person poor? That's another matter. But coming back to the point, when you have guests at your house, being hospitable, when you have guests, you should be kind and affectionate. You should be very, very welcoming to them. And this is one thing I've realized between, where we find this many times, I won't say every single time, but many times, one thing which is specific and unique to, especially Muslims, mashallah, in a non-Muslim country, one thing we realize is that if you are to, majority of the times, now many of the Muslim people, as we said, they try to be what, Western, etc., and they sadly don't fall into this category too, in a way. But what happens is they're not very, well, Muslims, what's unique about them is that they are very, very hospitable. I'm not saying it's all Muslims, but for many, and people will find, and I've heard this many times, that many non-Muslims will say that these people are so, so hospitable. Every time you go, you know, they're always offering you food. They're not just offering you, they make sure you take something. And they get very, very happy. Whereas, you know, at their own places, etc., if you're to go to their houses, we don't find the same, because this is something unique. They don't even have it amongst themselves. That if somebody comes, they always... I remember first thing when I was young, first thing mother used to do was, you know, there's a special, I don't know what sort of ball, if you wish to call it, and they would place many different things, and then they would place a drink there. That's just to start with. And then they would offer them two. They would offer them tea too. And then, again, that's just beginning. If it's time to eat, depending on the time, they'll say, no, you can't leave until you have food. You need to eat food here. This was the hospitality of that time. Nowadays, like, and to be honest, we do fall into this ourselves. We think, okay, you know, we understand. You don't have to eat, that's cool. If you want to eat, we'll ask you. If you don't, but that hospitality they had then was much more. Now we have hospitality, but how much is it? And it is dropping. It is dropping. Remember, this is one of the traits of Islam, alhamdulillah. being hospitable. He who believes billah, he who believes in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the last day, then فَلْيُكْرِمْ, he should be kind and compassionate towards his jarahu, should be welcoming towards his neighbor. وَمَنْ يُؤْمِنْ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ فَلْيُكْرِمْ ضَيْفَهُ, and that person who believes in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he who believes in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he who believes on the last and final day, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is addressing the ummah, or you who believe in the last day, you who believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, فَلْيُكْرِمْ ضَيْفَهُ, then such a person who believes in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he should be kind, he should respect, he should honor his guest, he should serve his guest, he should be hospitable. This is an order given to us by Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam. My dear viewers, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has taught us this. The prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they have taught us this. This is something this which holds a huge importance within our deen, within our religion. But we are, you know, it's starting to go downwards, sadly. Meaning, it's been implemented and acted upon, gradually very, very less. We need to be kind, compassionate. We need to be, you know, guests. We need to always, subhanAllah, but I'm not going to mention this because may Allah Ta'ala bless my mother. May Allah Ta'ala grant them Jannah. Whilst, subhanAllah, I think throughout their life, our house has always been such that the doors have never been locked. Some people will be shocked, and I don't know if this is something I should be saying on TV, until recently. But throughout my mother's life especially, the doors were always open. MashaAllah. You know, and this is just something which is, people were shocked when they hear about it. And you know, even I'm shocked that, you know, wow, living in such a country where there's all sorts of things, but in a way our doors are like literally open. Allahu Akbar. We should be hospitable. Honestly, it's a trait of which we find more in our elders than we do in our youngsters. But as youngsters too, we need to also begin to do such. Somebody comes to our house, we should be kind and hospitable to them. We should respect them. We should give them time. We should sit down with them. We should talk to them. Inshallah. Why? Because they are guests and we must respect our guests. My dear viewers, let's go to the daily hadith sharif. And then subhanAllah, there's so much more to be said about this topic. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alihi wa ala alihi wa sallam.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah.
Today, people rate those who are philanthropists very highly. Those who donate towards good causes, the charitable people. And often, the philanthropists are those who are very wealthy and affluent as well. But the deen of Islam is so beautiful that you don't have to be a millionaire to be considered sakhi, generous. If you give something, even though you yourself need it, or if you have less wealth, or you're not in a position to give a large amount of it, but you give some of it in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you're considered a generous person. If you've got a habit of giving like this in the way of Allah. In fact, some of the most generous people you will find amongst the Muslims are those who have strong iman. They're not millionaires, but alhamdulillah, they know the rewards of giving in the way of Allah. They know the rewards of generosity. They read that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was the most generous. The Prophet alayhi wa sallam didn't live a life of luxury. He could have, but he would give everything he had in the way of Allah. He would distribute it amongst people. And remember, being generous is a praiseworthy quality. All humans praise this quality. But Allah Ta'ala loves this quality so much that you gain His proximity when you are generous. Let's listen to a hadith. This is in Tirmidhi. Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu narrates, the Prophet alayhi salam said, As-sakhiyu qareebun min Allahi, qareebun min al-jannah, qareebun min al-nas. That the sakhi, the generous person, is close to Allah, close to Jannah, and he's close to the people. بَعِيدٌ مِّنَ النَّارِ, and he is distanced from the fire of hell. وَالْبَخِيلُ, and as for the opposite, the bakhil, the stingy person. Ba'idun min Allah, he's distant from Allah. Ba'idun min al-jannah, he's distant from paradise. Ba'idun min al-nas, he's distant from the people don't really like him as well. Qareebun min al-nar, and he's close to the hellfire. Wala jahilun sakhiyun ahabbu ila Allahi min aabidin bakhilin. Allahu Akbar. Look at these words. The Prophet ﷺ said, a sakhi, a generous person who is jahil, he's ignorant, is more beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala than an abid, a person who constantly worships, but at the same time he is stingy. He is a bakhil. Allahu Akbar. So if Allah has granted us, whether it's little or a lot, try and give wholeheartedly in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There are so many worldly benefits, but you've just heard the benefits in the akhirah as well. People will love you in the world. Allah ta'ala will grant you his qurba. You'll be close to Jannah and distance from the fire of hell. May Allah give us tawfiq to be generous.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah.
Sallu ala al-habib. Sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad. Sallallahu ta'ala alihi wa ala alihi wa sallam. My dear viewers of the channel, mashallah azza wa jalla, you are watching Rise and Shine. Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah. Thumma alhamdulillah, mashallah, that was our daily hadith sharif. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless our mubaligh. Now, guests are very, very important. And whenever a guest comes, you should not consider them to be a burden. Remember this. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has told us that when a guest comes, he brings with him his own sustenance. What does that mean? It means this is not a decrease in yours. Do not think, oh, guests have come, now we have to give them this, now we have to give them that food, etc. No, you should happily give it. You should happily give them food. Because it's stated, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has told us that a guest comes to your house, he brings his own sustenance. It does not cause a decrease in yours, like we are told. Zakat does not cause a decrease in your wealth. This is purifying your wealth and you will be granted more. When a guest comes to your house, this does not cause a decrease in your... Well, apparently it may seem like it does. In reality, it doesn't. Because Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has told us that a guest brings with him his own sustenance. Then you will think, what? A guest brings with him his own sustenance? Guests are from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But then what's even more beautiful is that they come bringing their own sustenance and they leave taking away your sins. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has told us this. Imagine that. Wow, really. Imagine that. A guest is coming to your house. MashaAllah, they are a guest. They bring with them their own sustenance. Remember this. They are coming, they are eating. You should provide them food. Only then will they eat. They come with their own sustenance. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not cause a decrease. Rather, He grants you blessings. He blesses you. Remember, guests are a mercy. They are a means, a source of blessing. And then when they leave, my dear viewers, we commit sins, we commit wrongdoing. And guess when they leave, they take away your sins too. How beautiful is that? Honestly, and Allahu Akbar, really. This is our deen, this is our religion, what it teaches us. The importance of guests, how important guests are. They take away your sins. SubhanAllah. These are guests, my dear viewers. And there are, subhanAllah, there are many examples. There are many things we should do, many etiquettes. Remember, okay, when a guest comes, nowadays is, you know, sometimes it's a bit typical too. Some of the things that we do, that is. When somebody comes, we sometimes will delay placing things in front of them. Sometimes we may not place things in front of them. No, we should. We should provide them with food. If it's a meal time, so it depends on the timing, but even then you should still offer them food. Maybe they've not eaten. Maybe they didn't have a chance to. You should still encourage them to try eat. Take something. This is what one thing we've learned. SubhanAllah, take something. Do not leave empty-handed. Do not leave without eating something. You know, these are the things we should encourage our guests. Now remember, sometimes we shouldn't go to a place to eat. For example, somebody's passed away. Then we cannot go to the house and eat there, etc. This, my dear viewers, is not even It's not even permitted. Remember, because our family, they are grieving. They are sad. So we don't go there and then start eating at the house. No. So that's another point. But generally, as guests when we're going somewhere, as guests, well, the one thing you shouldn't do is you shouldn't overstay. But those people who are hosting them, they should be kind enough to encourage them to, you know, stay as long as they wish, to feed them, to treat them nicely, to treat them kindly, because this is the order of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is the sunnah of many of the companions. A beautiful story, which inshallah I will quickly mention. And this story, mashallah, the reason why I wish to mention this, and there's various stories, is because this is a story about the greatest of all companions. The first Khalifa of Islam, Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radhiallahu anhu, as well as Hazrat Umar Farooq radhiallahu anhu, as well as Hazrat Usman ibn Affan radhiallahu ta'ala anhu, as well as Hazrat Ali radhiallahu ta'ala anhu. So this is the Khulafa'i Rashidun. These are the four Khulafa. After the prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the greatest of all people, the four Khalifas of Islam, you know, we must remember their names. For those who don't know the names, we must know the name. But this is a beautiful story is mentioned. It stated that once Hazrat Ali al-Murtada radhiallahu ta'ala anhu, he became ill. He became ill. Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radhiallahu anhu, he comes to Hazrat Umar Farooq radhiallahu anhu, he says to Hazrat Umar, he says to Hazrat Osman radhiallahu anhu, he says that, you know, I've heard Hazrat Ali radhiallahu anhu is not feeling well, he's feeling ill. We should all go and visit him. And they think, yes, of course, he's not feeling well. Our brother is not feeling well, we should go and visit him. Remember, there's also etiquette to going and visiting the sick. There's also etiquette to going and visiting the sick. But subhanAllah, this story, this is beautiful. So they think, okay, let's go. Why? Because inshallah, he'll see us, he'll become pleased. And yes, Hazrat Ali radhiallahu anhu, he invites them to his house. He hears, mashallah, Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq, Hazrat Umar, Hazrat Osman. You know, what better guest can you have? Allahu Akbar, the khulafa, the great companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, the greatest of people after the prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they've all come to my house. Hazrat Ali became really, really happy. He became very, very happy and he invites them in. And Hazrat Ali radhiallahu ta'ala anhu, he was not a very rich man in terms of wealth. You know, rich is a loaded term. It could have many meanings. Yes, he was rich in many ways, but in terms of wealthy rich, as we generally consider, he did not have very, very large amounts of wealth. And in fact, there's many things to mention about his stay, but let's just keep it like this. He didn't have nothing to give them. All he had was a silver bowl. He had a small amount of honey in that bowl. And it's also said that there was a hair there too. And it's not giving one to each person. No, it's, and subhanAllah, alhamdulillah, we say. That in this day and age, we've been given such wealth where we have to, you know, give glasses to everybody, give drinks to everybody, give, you know, anything and everything to everybody. Alhamdulillah. But these people who are our leaders, they did not have that type of wealth. They were not very, very rich. And amongst them was, you know, Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radhiallahu anhu, who was generally a wealthy person. Hazrat Osman radhiallahu anhu was so wealthy, he was considered Osmani Ghani. He was known as Osman, the wealthy, the rich. Now, Allahu Akbar. How did such people who were themselves wealthy go to a person's house? They didn't think, oh no, this person is poor, I'm not going to go to the house. No, but they went there. And whatever he offered them, they didn't think, oh no, I'm not going to eat this, I'm too big or too great for this. No. Allahu Akbar. All he had was one bowl. He had some honey in this bowl. And there was also a piece of hair in that bowl. He presents it to them. And, you know, maybe he did not see the hair or not. Allahu alam. But a person, remember, imagine there's to be a hair in that. One, we would never take that. Another, we would, you know, probably think, oh, there's a hair. We'll probably make a fuss out of it. And then we'll go home and we'll tell everyone. We'll tell the whole world. These are things we do. Remember, when people go to weddings, when people are guests at a wedding, you know, it's a saying now. You can never keep everyone happy. This is the state of the people. You can never keep everyone happy. The people, they'll go back and they'll be like, oh, the food, it wasn't all that. Okay, even if all the food was good, but one dish wasn't. Maybe one dish wasn't to your liking, or maybe, okay, got a little call, come on, there's possibly hundreds of thousands of guests. There's so many guests. It's a wedding. And, okay, maybe it got a little cold. You know, you don't have to make, and people go tell everyone, oh, no, the food was cold. Oh, the food, I didn't like the food. There's always something, you know, this is why I said, you can never keep everyone happy, no matter how much you do. Nevertheless, many viewers, so these are, you know, the great companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam sitting together. Hazrat Ali radhiyallahu anhu, he provides them with some food. What is this food? This is just honey. Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radhiyallahu ta'ala anhu, they thought that before beginning, we should say some words. We should say something. So they asked Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radhiyallahu anhu to say something first. Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radhiyallahu anhu, he takes a glance, he takes a look at his bowl, he says that the religion, remember this was a silver bowl, he says that the religion is more beautiful and glamorous than this bowl. The dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is sweeter even than this honey. And shari'at is more thinner than this hair. Allah, beautiful words there by Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radhiyallahu anhu. I don't have much time to expand on everything. I'm going to continue with the story. Hazrat Usman radhiyallahu anhu, who was a person famous for his love for the Quran. So that was Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radhiyallahu anhu. Then was Hazrat Umar Farooq radhiyallahu anhu. What does he say? He states, Jannah is more beautiful than this bowl. The blessings of Jannah are sweeter even than this honey. And the bridge is thinner than this hair. So they're describing each one, subhanAllah. And then Hazrat Usman radhiyallahu anhu, again, known for his Quran. Hazrat Usman ibn Affan radhiyallahu anhu, what does he say? He says, the Quran is more brighter than this bowl. The tilawat of the Quran is sweeter even than this honey. And the tafsir of the Quran is thinner and more intricate than this hair. SubhanAllah. The Sharia mentioned by Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radhiyallahu anhu, thinner than the hair. Hazrat Umar Farooq radhiyallahu anhu, the bridge of Sirat, thinner than the hair. Hazrat Usman says the tafsir of the Quran is more thinner and intricate even than a hair. Meaning with these things we must be very, very careful about. And then Hazrat Ali radhiyallahu anhu, he begins to speak. And what does he say? Hazrat Ali says, my guests are more beautiful and brighter than this bowl. My guests' words are sweeter even than this honey. And their hearts are thinner and softer even than this hair. Allahu Akbar. My dear viewers, to be honest, there are so many lessons to be taken from this. So many lessons to be taken from this. But one in terms of hospitality. Allahu Akbar. There are wealthy people amongst them, but they came to a house of a person who doesn't have much wealth. This is one thing, very, very important thing. Secondly, Hazrat Ali radhiallahu anhu, whatever he had, he only had a little. But whatever he had, he presented it before his guests. He prevented it before his guests. Why? He knows. I guess they bring within their system. It doesn't cause the person any sort of a decrease. Allahu Akbar. And then Hazrat Ali radhiallahu anhu, you know, he becomes happy by seeing that, mashallah, all these people are here. And there's another beautiful thing, is that they all thought, let's say some words. What did they do? They praised Hazrat Ali radhiallahu anhu. All of this was, in a way, praise of Hazrat Ali. To praise him, speaking kind words to Hazrat Ali. And Hazrat Ali became so happy, he would say, you know, my guests are even more beautiful and glamorous than this bowl, than this silver bowl. He was very, very happy too. But if he was, we should be happy when guests come. We should be kind to our guests. We should be very, very hospitable. And as well as this, Allahu Akbar, guests, when they go to people's houses, they shouldn't have this pride in them. Some people have this pride. Now, generally, for example, when you go into somebody's house, it's general, it's etiquette, isn't it? And, you know, okay, the people in the house, they may say, okay, leave your trainers on, etc. But the guests, they themselves should take them off. Some people just go in even without asking. Alhamdulillah, you know, many people who are Muslims and they're practicing and they read their salah, etc., they wish to keep everything clean and pure. And we don't know what's on our trainers. So we shouldn't just walk into people's houses without... This is just one example I'm giving. Another is when we do go to somebody's house, we should keep our respect for that person. Maybe something becomes disclosed to us. Maybe something happened. Maybe we heard of something. You know, we shouldn't go spreading rumors or this person or this is what happened at his house, etc. No, we shouldn't go there to people's houses just to hear news, as you would say. You know, these sort of things we should refrain from. Allahu Akbar. My day views on Madani channel, in At-Targhib wa At-Tarhib, he stated that, for me to give my fellow brother a morsel is better than for me to give a dirham to the poor. And for me to give a dirham to my Muslim brother is better than for me to give 100 dirhams to the poor. So this is meaning those who are guests, those who are your close people, we should give to them too. And especially those who are poor from amongst them. Another thing, this is what our religion encourages us. When given to the poor, it doesn't just say go give to the poor, give to strangers. We are told first give to those around you. First give to your family members. Obviously these rulings of, you know, a father can't just give it to his son or, you know, to give it to his spouse, etc. You know, husband giving it to his wife, that is. You know, these things we must be careful about. But generally, your relatives, your cousin brothers, even your very own brother, look towards your own close family too. Do they pass a criteria? Are they deserving of zakat? You know, then what does our deen, our religion encourages to do? To first give it to such people. And subhanAllah, this is our religion, our deen. This is what it teaches us. One, as a narration stated, that food which is presented before the guest, and when you give food before the guest, remember, we are accountable for everything on the Day of Judgment, even for the food we have, everything that we have. This food we present before the guest, we are not held accountable. We are not asked or questioned about that food on the Day of Judgment. Allahu Akbar. Feed the guests. Eat with them. That food we will not be questioned about on the Day of Judgment. Subhanallah. And as I said, leaving you with one more thing, my dear viewers, that it said, we shouldn't rush things generally, except for six. There are six things we should do very, very quickly. One, to pray Salah. Funeral. When somebody passes away, we should try to, you know, be hasty, be quick in performing the funeral rites, etc. Marriage. That's, I think, a topic we need to discuss more on. Marriage, my dear viewers. Something which shouldn't be delayed. Paying off a debt. Another thing. Which can somebody think, oh no, it's okay, these people are rich. Or, you know, you don't know what another person's situation is. You must pay them, you know, as soon as you can. Another is repenting from a sin. If you commit a sin, you must repent immediately. And from amongst these six, the last one is what? To offer a guest. Meaning whether that's offering them food or whatever it may be. When a guest comes to your house, the first thing you should do immediately is, you know, put something before them, offer them a tea, depending. Because sometimes they don't know. Do they drink tea? Do they not drink tea? Food, whatever it may be. And it should be a realistic offer. It's not that, oh, now they're getting up to leave and I'm like, oh, have some tea. You really know they're getting up to leave. Allahu Akbar. No, my dear viewers. Offer guests. Be hospitable. Be kind. We run out of time. But Allahu Akbar, it is one of those things which we are lacking. It is one of those things which should be increasing. Rather, it's decreasing. We should be hospitable to our guests. We should invite our guests over. We should be kind to our guests. And also when going to other people's houses, etc., we should be very, very careful and never disclose anybody else's news to third people or anybody else that is. My dear viewers, on the channel, subhanAllah, there's so much to be said, but Allahu Akbar, time is of essence. My dear viewers, on the channel, guests, be kind to guests. Invite guests over as much as is possible for you, inshallah, Azza wa Jal. Remember, guests are from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's all for today. Rise and shine, inshallah. We shall be returning tomorrow, inshallah, Azza wa Jal. My dear viewers, continue to watch Madini channel, continue to send salawat upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alihi wa ala alihi wa sallam.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah, even the darkest night will end and the sun will rise and shine.